consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Clipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Clipp.
Hi, people. Welcome back. You probably haven't noticed, but my shows for the last couple of weeks have been pre-recorded because I've been over in Europe. I graduated my last child from college and decided to treat myself. So I went to Paris and we rented an apartment there, away from, in the Marais district, away from the normal tourist areas, and tried to see how Parisians live. You know, it's always kind of, I think, in the back of people's mind, what if I just chuck everything and move to Paris, the city of romance? Well, I've got some pros and cons. First, Paris is a huge city. I hadn't really thought about it, but Paris is 10 million people, which is the size of Chicago or Los Angeles. And it's 10 million with 2 million people in the central city, the old city, which is means very high density, a whole lot of people close together, and all of the issues that that has. The other thing is, you know, kind of one of my hobbies whenever I go anywhere is I check out the real estate market. I'm sure actually a lot of people do, as you walk down the street and see the real estate offices and look at the signs in the window. Paris is shockingly expensive. In the Marais district, which is not fashionable, the housing was about $1,000 a square foot. And when you got over in the fashionable districts, like around the Champs-Élysées, up or the Eiffel Tower, I readily saw advertisements for apartments that were $3,000 a square foot. You know, and as I say, $1,000 a square foot, which meant a 500 square foot apartment is $500,000. And often that's a fixer upper. A 500 square foot apartment that's perfect, maybe $1,500 a square foot. So in essence, think of selling your 2,000 square foot house here. Wherever you live, the average around the country is about $140 a square foot. You sell your $2,000 house here. That means you can buy a 500 square foot in Paris. There are other areas, which is a small one-bedroom apartment. The other areas around, I was reminded by some friends that are just as expensive. Manhattan, the downtown area of Toronto, probably downtown Chicago or Los Angeles, but Paris is really expensive. The interesting thing about Paris is the whole city is 7 stories tall. When you think about it, Paris was developed, the heyday of the city was really about 1850 to 1910. During that time, it was probably the most desirable city in the world and the place where everyone was going if you were fashionable. So most of the housing stock in Paris was built between 1850 and 1910. Even then, land was really expensive and you had to maximize it. Well, this was before elevators and sometimes even before indoor plumbing. So the highest you could build is 7 stories. And the first floor typically is retail or business, and that's called the ground floor in Europe. Above that is what they call the first floor. We call the second floor. And you can imagine 5 stories of apartments stacked up. Then above that, there's typically a mansard roof and another story of apartments in the mansard roof for a total of 7 stories. Part of the reason, I think, is that they didn't have elevators, so that was as much as you could get people to walk up. And even then, the ones under the mansard roof at the top had to have been very undesirable. And the staircases are these winding staircases, so you don't have the straight, even treads that you have in the United States now. You've got these winding staircases, and what they've done, they've gone back and retrofitted them. Originally, there was a light well that came down the middle of the stairway. They've worked out these little elevators that can just fit in that light well, which means they're about less than 3 feet wide and about 3 to 4 feet deep, with the back of the elevator rounded the same way the stairwell is. One consequence is, first of all, they're really claustrophobic. But also, how do you get any furniture up? There's no way you get a bed up these stairs or a large couch. You actually have to lift the things up. You know, they've got businesses which are these long telescoping lifts that lift them up the outside of the building and you go in through the window. Okay, so you arrive at your apartment. Most of the people, when I was looking at the ads, most of the people seem to live in about 400 to 500 square feet, which is one bedroom. And a large apartment, 1,000 square feet, has 3 bedrooms, plus a living room and a dining room or dining area and a kitchen. I was really amazed in Paris how every street I went to, all of the buildings were 7 stories tall. All of them were built right up to the street and used every square foot of space that they could. Now, because, you know, they're deep, the buildings would have a light well in the middle of the building, or it might be a light well towards the back that's actually shared by a couple of buildings. There are no long views. If you have windows out on the street, then your windows look across the street and the sidewalks, and there's another wall full of windows. If your windows look out on the light well, that only may be 15 feet across and another bank of windows. So people are living very close to each other. And I think if you lived in a building for long, you would really get to know your neighbors, either for good or bad. But one saving grace in that was that the buildings are made of stone and heavy masonry, so that for the most part, you know, it blocks the sound and you don't hear everyone so much unless you keep your windows open. And often they don't have air conditioning. So especially in the summer, your windows are open. You can hear the other people. It's all one big family, happy or otherwise. And let me see. Well, we're about to go to break, but when we get back, I'll tell you about the apartment that we rented. And I think it was pretty typical for Paris and for the buildings there, you know, and actually had been someone's apartment clearly for 100 years before it was fitted up and rented out short term to people like us. Wait, we'll talk about that when we get back from the break.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com. Come back to your senses. Imagine a radio show that will help you recover your common sense. Host Leia Brenda Smith is a health and wellness specialist who will explain techniques designed to help you recover from the stress of your life. It's all about how you respond to your thoughts. A little bit of self-awareness can go a long way in helping you to relax and enjoy your life. Tune in to Come Back to Your Senses Radio, live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Are you ready to change your relationships, your business, your body, and your life? You'll want to tune in to Transformation Talk Radio with host Tony Litster. It's an inspiring hour of conversation, special guests, and wisdom that has made Tony an expert with personal life experience. His down-to-earth style will give you the keys to unlock your greatest potential. Listen for Transformation Talk Radio, live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel. Listening can truly change your life.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet Talk Radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Hi. Today I'm just rambling on about living in Paris. We rented an apartment there. That was, I think, fairly normal for the people who actually live there. It was 14 feet by 24 feet, or about 350 square feet total. That's the size of a medium motorhome that you see on the highway. Not a big one, a medium one. The shocking thing is that that little apartment, 350 square feet, if it sold, would sell for somewhere between $350,000 and $500,000. So think of the house that you can buy in your neighborhood for that. Okay, so you walk in the door, and there's a little foyer about 4 feet by 5 feet, and behind that is a bathroom. Then there's just one big room, fairly big room, 14 feet by 19 feet. Originally, I think when this was a normal apartment, it was probably two rooms, a bedroom and a living room. But they've, you know, taken out the wall and opened it up into one big room. And it's divided into living area and sleeping area by a curtain. On the wall beside the bathroom is a kitchenette in the living area. And it looks like, well, has a small sink, an under-counter refrigerator, a two-burner cooktop, and a combination microwave and convection oven. This was the kitchen. And I think I was the normal Parisian probably doesn't have much more. In the bedroom area, that same wall then has a bank of closets. It looks like everything in there they purchased from IKEA to furnish this apartment. Apartment had two windows, big, nice windows, that looked out onto a light shaft. And 15 feet across the light shaft was the windows of another apartment. In fact, a bank of six apartments stacked up that you could look at through your window. And then it also had one small window high up above the kitchenette that looked out on another light shaft that was shared by a couple of buildings. And the nice thing about that was that there is no air conditioning. So coming in the evening, the apartment is all hot. We wouldn't turn on the lights to keep from attracting bugs, but we'd open the two big windows and we'd open this little high window on the other side and get a Venturi effect, you know, a wind effect pulling the air through the apartment and cooling it down some. This is normal living in Paris. The bathroom was interesting. In an American house, the standard bathroom for kids, for a second bath, is 5 feet by 8.5 feet, or about 43 square feet. The bathroom in this apartment was a little smaller than that. It was 4.5 feet wide, instead of 5, and 7 feet long, instead of 8.5. So it was 33 square feet, or about 75% the size of what in America we consider a small bath. And definitely less room to move around. Well, I had a normal size sink and toilet. What is striking is it had a much smaller shower. Usually these apartments don't have bathtubs. They have showers and they're small. This one was 28 inches by 28 inches, which is, well, the normal small American shower is 36 inches by 36 inches, or 9 square feet. The shower in here, instead of being 9 square feet, is 5.5 square feet. If you dropped the soap, you couldn't pick it up. You had to open the door of the shower to be able to bend down to pick up the soap. And I've looked up the statistics. France has half the obesity rate of the United States. And you can imagine, I mean, if you were anyway heavy, you'd have a very difficult time functioning in this shower. The other weird things, they had no soap dish. And they have, and this is true for all of Europe, no washcloths. So one thing I have learned is if you go to Europe, bring your own washcloth. Other things I noticed are that the fixtures and the tile, everything in the bathroom was really nice. Of course, if you're paying 1,000 square feet for the house, the apartment, then you would expect the fixtures to be really nice. But in this case, the faucets and shower were Groey, which is high-end, often as much as $1,000 for a shower fixture. And the toilet was a Geberit. Geberit is a toilet I like a lot. The Geberit toilets are wall hung rather than sitting on the floor. And that has some, first of all, that makes for nice clean lines and nothing touches the floor. So it's easy to clean around. And also, you can set the height of the toilet. my wife was 6 feet tall with real long legs, and we could set the toilet higher rather than down low. So, oh, and the other thing that seems to be standard in the bathrooms over there is a heated towel rack. This is a nice feature, but I think the reason they have them is because often they don't have central heat. And you want your bathroom to be warm. This was how they did it, is a heated towel rack, which would also radiantly heat the bathroom. So you've gone and you're spending $600,000, $500,000 for a house, for an apartment, maybe $400,000 for a small, small place. That doesn't include a parking space. Most people in Paris did not have cars because they're so expensive to operate. Also, the traffic is heavy. Where do you park the car? And gasoline is $9 a gallon. So the fact that your $400,000 small apartment doesn't have a parking space isn't so bad because you can't afford a car anyway. What they do have in Paris is a really good metro system. And we did, if you go to Paris, get a Navigo pass. This is, we qualified for it as residents because we had rented an apartment instead of staying in the hotel. But it's a pass that lets you unlimited use of the metro system for a week or a month. A week was 33 euro. A month is about 100. And anywhere in Paris, including out to the airport or out to Versailles, which is about 20 miles out in the country on the other side. The trains are, the metro is really good. The trains come fast. Almost always when you step down into a metro station, you know, the train would be there within 2-3 minutes. I never had to wait 15 minutes for a train. And you get to see all sorts of people there. You get to see all sorts of people in this, in the train, it's a metro. Works out well. However, one big problem you have is pickpockets. And Paris is extremely notorious for their pickpocket problem. Even we were in the cab of the Eiffel Tower, and there are big signs. The biggest sign in the cab, the elevator going up the Eiffel Tower, is watch out for pickpockets. When I get back, we'll talk more about safety.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk. Yeah! If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com. Tune into Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's. We're a show all about wine, spirits, and other beverages. Your host, Kimber Stonehouse, is a professional expert and wine enthusiast. Each week, we'll focus on a different region of the world, discuss wines and other beverages, talk about some of the top restaurants in the region, and what to pair with which wine. Just listening could make you almost an expert. Around the World in a Glass is heard live every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Are you struggling to find hope in the middle of adversity? How confident are you in dealing with your life challenges? Do you realize you have the ability to overcome your obstacles? You'll want to tune in to Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities. Louise will speak to inspiring guests who have helped others or managed to overcome the roadblocks that stood in the way of their life success. Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities broadcasts live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America. The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to cliffark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
What was fascinating to me in this little apartment was the front door. Normally, the front door of an apartment here in the United States, at least the ones I've seen, they're solid, but they're just not that strong, and they've got a simple deadbolt lock on them. This little apartment had a reinforced heavy-duty steel door. On that reinforced heavy-duty steel door was a very heavy-duty lock. It had a four-bar deadbolt. So instead of one deadbolt sliding over, there were four bolts that slid over. And it had a three-point locking system, which means that it also had two bolts that went into the floor and two bolts that went into the header of the door. I'd never been in an apartment with that heavy duty of a door. Also, looking around Paris and my building, every window that you could possibly climb, that someone could possibly climb into, had a steel grill on it. Even if it was on the second or third floor of the apartment building, it had a steel grill. As if you can imagine putting a 20-foot ladder up to the wall and climbing up it, you'd find the steel grill. If you crossed the roof from one building to another, you'd find this arcing steel grill with sharp points keeping you from climbing from one building to another. So they really go in heavy duty for security of their buildings. And, you know, what this suggests to me is that burglary has to be common in Paris. That in addition to pickpockets that you have to be aware of, if they can break into your house or your apartment, they will. On the other hand, I'm a guy, I really evaluate safety and really kind of look out for it. I also like to walk at night. And personally, I felt safe in Paris. I didn't feel that anyone was going to bother me or that, you know, you don't walk down dark alleys, but on a given street, you're just fine. Of course, I'm 6 feet 1 inch tall and big, so, you know, I may have a slightly skewed view of what safety is. One of the other things on the buildings that I noticed, this is a fact that they were built over 100 years ago, is that they only have one stairwell. Any building built today, above the first floor, you've got two ways of getting out. You know, you've got a stairway at one end and a stairway at the other end, or maybe a fire escape, but there's at least two ways of getting out of any story that's above the ground level. in these buildings in Paris, there's only one stairwell, and there's no other way out. Now, what helped, conversely, is, like I said, the buildings are made of stone. They're not likely to burn easily, and you probably have more time, therefore, to get out because they're not burning easily. Other observations about Paris and the beauty of living there. Parisians love to hang out in sidewalk cafes and parks. And you think of it as a lifestyle thing. They'll spend their evening in the cafe, you know, eating dinner, sipping their wine, relaxing, having an espresso. Well, after I started checking out the housing situation and how small the apartments are, I started to feel there was another reason for that. The apartments are really small, which means there isn't much space to hang out in your apartment, and you've got to go out on the street because you're not going to stay at home in these very small, tiny rooms. Other observations. Just my observations, but Parisians don't smile. Even reading the guidebooks, we took Rick Steves with us primarily, plus others. The guidebooks say, they warn you, don't walk down the street with a smile on your face. No one walks down the street with a smile on their face in Paris. And if you do, the Parisians think something funny is going on. Conversely, and same thing, no one smiles on the metro. So just because of the way I think, I made it my personal task to smile, a big smile, the whole time I was on the metro and walking down the street, just to disturb the Parisians. And as it sounds like, I didn't really take to the Parisians that much. If you're looking for a, you know, you want to chuck this life, you want to go on and move someplace new, better life, you're looking for a warm, comfortable place with warm people, it's not Paris. The Parisians, I said, don't smile. And we really came to think the Parisians don't care about you. They care about themselves, maybe their friends. They don't care about you. They don't welcome you. They don't, you know, they don't smile. And, you know, conversely, Paris is the most visited tourist destination in the world. So Paris gets more tourists than anywhere else in the world. And so, to be fair, some of their attitude may be they're sick and tired of tourists. And other than the money you bring, they wish you'd leave. But also, to be fair, Paris is a romantic place. And the most romantic spot in Paris, definitely, is the bank of the Seine, right near Notre Dame. It is just absolutely beautiful. And well, it is. It's just an absolutely beautiful place, especially at sunset. And they have a bridge there that is closed to vehicular traffic. It's only people now. It's quite old. And it's nicknamed the Bridge of Locks. The whole idea is when you're in love, you buy a lock and you get your names, your initials engraved on it, and you go and you lock it together on this bridge, on the mesh of the sides of the bridge. And as long as that lock stays locked, your love will remain. So there are locks on that bridge that are decades old, and they never remove them. Like I said, Paris has some beautiful romantic places, beautiful spots. The people, I just didn't do it for me. Venice, Italy, I loved. Paris is 10 million people. Venice, and we went to Venice and stayed for a week. Venice is 60,000 people on an island. 10 million versus 60,000. Venice has no cars. There are a lot of people around in this small space, but the crush doesn't seem to be so bad because you don't have to deal with cars. And also, if you want to get away, there's all this water around it. So you can always get a good long water view easily. Probably the best thing about Venice is Venice is on the water, so their buses, their metro system, are boats. It's called the Vaporetto system. And the best thing we did was to buy a Vaporetto pass, which, well, the Vaporettos are boats. They operate just like buses. So you wait at the station, they pick you up, you go to your next destination. Just like the bus, you can go down the Grand Canal, you can go around the islands, you can actually take the Vaporetto and go over to Murano, which is another island probably a half hour away, or out to Lido. Lido is the barrier island that protects Venice from the Mediterranean Sea. Like I said, we bought a Vaporetto pass. The Vaporetto is the most expensive public transportation system in the world. It is costs 6.5 euros a ride. 6.5 euros is about, right now, $8 for one ride. Or for 50 euros, you can get a week-long pass. And that's great because you just hop on and off the Vaporetto. Probably the nicest thing we did was just simply take boat rides. And it was a great feeling after being cooped up and with all these people around in Paris to just take a boat ride around Venice. Okay, although we still had to deal with tourists. Paris, the housing prices were really high. In Venice, they were still expensive, but about half as much as Paris. About $500 a square foot was what I saw. Or you still had the same 500 square foot, one bedroom apartment. But instead of being $500,000, it was $250,000. So it seemed a lot more affordable in Venice. The apartments were still small, still between 300 square feet and 1,000 square feet. However, if you wanted a bit more space, you could go over to Murano. Murano is this other island that has about 6,000 people on it, and it's known for glass blowing. They do incredible, exquisite glass blowing on Murano, and it's a really nice place to live with nice people, a relaxed setup. Or you can go to Lido, and there again, the prices are a bit less per square foot, and there's more space, the apartments, and you can actually get a house that are bigger. In Paris, most of the buildings were built around 1880. In Venice, the buildings were built around 1600, 1650. So the apartment we were in was built in 1650. It was 400 years old. In Paris, the buildings were typically all of the buildings were seven stories tall. In Venice, typically they're four stories tall. They were built in 1650. There were no elevators. So four stories is still a long way to walk up. Same tight areas that you had in Paris, same tight use of space. But everything was kind of a little looser because of the water. And you had this water in between the buildings instead of packing the buildings right up to each other. Talk some more when I get back, and I'll tell you, just I could see living in Venice.
Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our All-Star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news. Stock prices plunging, home prices receding, and unemployment growing. How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy, and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Tune into a program that's all about empowerment and human potential. It's all about navigating your life. In fact, that is the name of the program. Tune in every Monday morning for the Navigating Your Life Show with host Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. Each week we'll discuss a range of topics to help you with the challenges facing us every day. The information given can be implemented immediately and may change your life forever. The Navigating Your Life Show is broadcast live Mondays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Voice America Variety Channel presents a program like no other for those in the field and interested in the field of security and training. On America's front lines of crime and war with Victory Defense Consulting, hosted by J.J. Sutton. Here, listeners are learning about tactical skills and practices that support efficient, smarter, and more enduring skills. You will receive the most up-to-date information about the security and training industry with detailed discussions and select special guests each week. Tune in to On America's Front Lines of Crime and War, Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's CLIPPARCH at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Back when Rome fell, and the Goths and the Visigoths and the Huns all came storming across Italy. Italy was a very dangerous place to live. And the farmers who were up in northern Italy came down and they settled on the islands off the coast to, just for protection from the marauders. Over time, they started fishing and then they started trading and they became seamen. Rather than farmers on these islands. They built up the islands and created Venice. And Venice is, it's an amazing place. It's, as I say, built on this bunch of little islands that they've filled in over the years. And they have taken hundreds of thousands of cypress poles and sunk them into the ground. This is the foundation upon which their buildings sit. These hundreds of thousands of cypress poles that some of them they put in 1,000 years ago some only 400 years ago. As long as they're under the water level, they don't rot and they don't deteriorate. So that's what Venice sits on. Above that, they built their buildings of stone, and which is interesting that, again, stone doesn't rot and doesn't deteriorate. So when they were getting up close to the surface of the water, they switched from the wood cypress poles to a stone foundation and then a stone base up to above the water level. Then at that point, they switched to brick. And the upper houses are all built of brick because, well, it was a whole lot cheaper and easier to build with than stone. And they could, on the mainland, and easily make brick and have it shipped over to build the houses. It's amazing. The fanciest palazzo in Venice has this beautiful, fancy front of marble. The other three sides are brick because they did the show on the front. Who cares about the sides and back? So, in fact, even the Dodgers Palace on the side that you don't look at is just common brick. However, you've got this really heavy houses, which may also be a reason why they only built four stories tall. You've got these really heavy houses sitting on cypress pilings in the middle of marshy islands. So they are slowly sinking over time. At the same time, with global warming, the water level is slowly rising. And it's quite a problem, but it's a problem they've been dealing with for, you know, 500 years. And clearly there'll be issues. It's interesting that a lot of the palazzos, especially, which the large commercial buildings or the large buildings, originally 500 years ago, the ground floor of the buildings was the warehouse. These guys were all merchants and seamen. So they bring their merchandise in, and the ground floor was a warehouse. The second floor was the accounting offices and the business offices for their business. The floor above that is the display floor, you know, where they have their grand rooms. And then on the top floor was the rooms they actually lived in. And this was a palazzo. The neat thing about Venice is that there wasn't one ruling family. There were 1,000 successful merchant seamen. All of them had money. So there was a very broad distribution of wealth in Venice. And because of that, you know, if you've got one king and he's got all the money, everybody else is subservient, and the people on the bottom are treated like dirt. That's the description of Paris. Paris was like that for over 1,000 years. Venice, you've got 1,000 people with money. It's a lot like the United States in this respect. You've got a whole bunch of people with money, each one running their own business and succeeding or failing at their own business. And at any given time, you know, there's a good deal of them who are successful. So Venice was by far the most successful city in the world for 1,000 years. And what was neat is even for the common people, that if you've got 1,000 different possible employers to choose from, well, you have to treat your employees well. And, you know, if you're a bad employer, if you treat your employees badly or you don't pay them well, in Venice, you can just go next door and work for that guy. So in Paris, you've got no choice. You have to work for the guy who treats you like crap because he's the only boss. So it did a lot of wonderful things for Venice, and it did a lot of souring things for Paris. And I think that's a big part of the difference in the attitude between the Parisians and the Venetians. Which I thought was really neat. I get into that sort of thing. And, you know, I talked about the ground level rising. One shocking thing is the first night we got there was a full moon and a high tide coinciding. So the apartment was very near St. Mark's Square, and we could walk right over to St. Mark's Square. More than half the square was underwater. It was only about 6 inches, but more than half of St. Mark's Square was underwater when you have the combination of a high tide and a full moon. What was really neat, though, is that on St. Mark's Square, there are three different cafes that have bands and playing primarily classical music, although New York, New York is a popular song. You know, they play to the tourists what the tourists want to hear. So here's half the square underwater, and here are three bands playing. Really, Venice is a neat place. And, you know, what else is it? Well, just looking at our apartment, it was larger than the one in Paris, about 400 square feet, with a 16-foot-tall ceiling, because it was on that first floor that was the show floor back when it was built back in the 1600s. So it also had a sleeping loft in it that added another 150 square feet. We had three tall French doors. The only windows were on the front looking out. But we had three tall French doors that stepped out onto a balcony. And we looked out from that balcony at a piazza. So we'd sit in the morning and have our breakfast and look out on the piazza. This was a great apartment, and probably part of the reason why I feel so good about Venice. All the floors that I saw in Venice were made of terrazzo. Terrazzo is marble chips and cement that are ground flat and smooth and then polished. And so everything had essentially a stone floor in Venice. And then the ceilings, you'd look up and you'd see these big 6-inch by 6-inch beams, all of them a foot apart. So the whole ceiling were these great big beams that have been there for 400 years. And again, like I said, really neat. The bathroom, well, it was much bigger than the one in Paris, about 11 feet long, and it had a bidet, which is interesting, but anyway, it still had a tiny shower. The shower was 30 inches by 30 inches with two glass corners that opened up. They could have put a standard size bathtub in there or a big, nice shower. I think part of the idea is to discourage bathing, maybe to discourage water use, but even when they have the chance to put in a nice big tub or shower, they still seem to put in these little tiny ones. And like I say, if you're more than 200 pounds, you have a tough time in these showers. And that's all. Like I said, Venice is a wonderful place, and boy, I could live there. Next week, I'll get back to reality, though. I had a real write in and said he's thinking about building a screen porch. I was supposed to talk about screen porches sometime in the past and never got to it, not enough time. So next week, I'm going to talk about screen porches and I'm going to talk about how to open up your house and to really live both indoors and outdoors in your house. And we can do that. It makes for a much more pleasant way to live. In the United States, we've got the space, and we can really create a good indoor-outdoor living house. So that's next week. Tune in. Thanks.
Again, for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.